Chapter 9, Articulations, Chapter Summary. Here's a tip. Listen to this summary after reading the chapter to help you reinforce the key concepts. Before class or your next test, you can also use the summary as a quick review. Introduction. An articulation, or joint, is a point of contact between bones. Joints are mostly very movable, but some are immovable or allow only limited motion. Movable joints allow complex, highly coordinated, and purposeful movements to be executed. Classification of joints. Joints may be classified by using a structural or functional scheme. In structural classification, joints are named according to the type of connective tissue that joins bones together, such as fibrous or cartilaginous joints, and by the presence of a fluid-filled joint capsule, such as the synovial joint. In functional classification, joints are named according to the degree of movement allowed. For example, synarthroses are immovable joints, amphiarthroses are slightly movable joints, and diarthroses are freely movable joints. Fibrous joints, or synarthroses, are bones of the joints that fit together closely, thereby allowing little or no movement. Joints in which ligaments connect two bones are known as syndesmosis. Sutures, found only in the skull, are teeth-like projections from adjacent bones that interlock with each other. Gomphoses lie between the root of a tooth and the alveolar process of the mandible or maxilla. Cartilaginous joints, or amphiarthroses, are joined together by hyaline cartilage or fibrocartilage, which allows very little motion. Synchondroses are cartilaginous joints where hyaline cartilage is present between articulating bones. Symphyses are cartilaginous joints in which a pad or disc of fibrocartilage connects two bones. Synovial joints, or diarthroses, are freely movable joints. Seven structures characterize synovial joints. The joint capsule is a sleeve-like casing around the ends of the bones that binds them together. The synovial membrane lines the joint capsule and also secretes synovial fluid. Articular cartilage is hyaline cartilage covering the articular surfaces of bones. The joint cavity is a small space between the articulating surfaces of the two bones of the joint. Menisci, or articular discs, are pads of fibrocartilage located between articulating bones. Ligaments are strong cords of dense, white, fibrous tissue that hold the bones of a synovial joint more firmly together. Bursae are synovial membranes filled with synovial fluid, which cushions joints and facilitate movement of tendons. Synovial joints are divided into three main groups, each of which has two subtypes. 1. Uniaxial joints are synovial joints that permit movement around only one axis and in only one plane. Hinge joints are uniaxial joints where articulating ends of bones form a hinge-shaped union that allows only flexion and extension. Pivot joints are uniaxial joints where a projection of one bone articulates with the ring or notch of another bone. 2. Biaxial joints are synovial joints that permit movement around two perpendicular axes in two perpendicular planes. Saddle joints are biaxial joints in which the articulating ends of the bones resemble reciprocally shaped miniature saddles. The only saddle joint in the body is in the thumb. Condyloid or ellipsoidal joints are biaxial joints in which a condyle fits into an elliptical socket. 3. Multiaxial joints are synovial joints that permit movement around three or more axes in three or more planes. The ball and socket, or spheroid joint, is the most movable joint in which the ball-shaped head of one bone fits into a concave depression in another bone. Gliding joints are relatively flat articulating surfaces that allow limited gliding movements along various axes. Representative synovial joints. The humeroscapular joint, known as the shoulder joint, is the most mobile joint because of the shallowness of the glenoid cavity. The glenoid labrum is the narrow rim of fibrocartilage around the glenoid cavity that lends depth to the glenoid cavity. The shoulder joint is strengthened by ligaments, muscles, tendons, and bursae. The elbow joint is a classic hinge joint, which consists of the humeral radial joint, which is a lateral articulation of the capitulum of the humerus with the head of the radius, and the humeral ulnar joint, the medial articulation of the trochlea of the humerus with the trochlear notch of the ulna. Both components of the elbow joint are surrounded by a single joint capsule and stabilized by collateral ligaments. Medial and lateral epicondyles are externally palpable bony landmarks. Olecranon bursae are independent of the elbow joint space. When inflammation occurs, it is called olecranon bursitis. Trauma to the nerve results in an unpleasant sensation in the fingers and part of the hand supplied by the nerve, and severe injury may cause wrist drop. Between the head of the radius and the medial notch of the ulna lies the proximal radio-ulnar joint. This joint is stabilized by the annular ligament and permits rotation of the forearm. Dislocation of the radial head is called a pulled elbow. The distal radio-ulnar joint has a point of articulation between the ulnar notch of the radius and the head of the ulna. Acting with the proximal radio-ulnar joint permits pronation and supination of the forearm. Radiocarpal or wrist joints are synovial joints where only the radius articulates directly with the scaphoid and lunate carpal bones distally. The scaphoid bone is frequently fractured, and a portion of the fractured scaphoid may become avascular. Intercarpal joints are present between the 8 carpal bones. They are stabilized by numerous ligaments. The joint spaces usually communicate. Movement of the intercarpal joints are generally gliding with some abduction and flexion. The 3 carpal metacarpal joints consist of the 1 joint for the thumb with a wide range of movement and 2 joints for the fingers with movement largely the gliding type. The thumb carpal metacarpal joint is unique and important functionally because it has a loose-fitting joint capsule with a saddle-shaped articular surface. It permits extension, adduction, abduction, circumduction, and opposition, which is the ability to touch the tip of the thumb to the tip of other fingers, a movement of great functional significance. Metacarpal phalangeal joints exist where the rounded heads of metacarpals articulate with concave bases of the proximal phalanges. The capsule surrounding these joints is strengthened by collateral ligaments, allowing for the primary movements of flexion and extension. Interphalangeal joints are typical diarthrotic, hinge-type synovial joints that exist between the heads of phalanges and bases of more distal phalanges. Proximal interphalangeal joints, or PIP joints, are an interphalangeal joint between the proximal and middle phalanges. Distal interphalangeal joints, or DIP joints, lie between the middle and distal phalanges. The hip joint is a stable joint because of the shape of the head of the femur and the acetabulum. A joint capsule and ligaments contribute to the hip joint's stability. The knee joint is the largest and one of the most complex and most frequently injured joints. The tibiofemoral joint is supported by a joint capsule, cartilage, and numerous ligaments and muscle tendons. The knee joint permits flexion, extension, and, with the knee flexed, some internal and external rotation. The ankle joint is a synovial-type hinge joint with an articulation between the lower ends of the tibia and fibula and the upper part of the talus. This joint is called mortise, or wedge-shaped. The lateral malleolus of the ankle joint is lower than the medial malleolus. An internal rotation injury results in the common sprained ankle, which involves the anterior talofibular ligament. Other ankle ligaments also may be involved in sprain injuries, such as the deltoid ligament. External ankle rotation injuries generally involve bone fractures rather than ligament tears. A first-degree ankle injury involves fracture of the lateral malleolus. A second-degree ankle injury involves both malleoli fractured, while a third-degree ankle injury describes the fracture of both malleoli and the articular surface of the tibia. Vertebrae are connected to one another by several vertebral joints to form a strong, flexible column. The bodies of adjacent vertebrae are connected by intervertebral discs and ligaments. Intervertebral discs are made up of 2 parts. Annulus fibrosus, which is the disc's outer rim, made of fibrous tissue and fibrocartilage, and the nucleus pulposus, which is the disc's central core, made of a pulpy, elastic substance. Types and range of movement at synovial joints. A range of motion, or ROM assessment, is used to determine extent of joint injury. ROM can be measured actively or passively because both are generally equal. ROM is measured by an instrument called a goniometer. Angular movements change the size of the angle between articulating bones as follows. Flexion decreases the angle between bones by bending or folding one part on another. Extension increases the angle between bones by returning a part from its flexed position to its anatomical position. Stretching or extending a part beyond its anatomical position is called hyperextension. Plantar flexion increases the angle between the top of the foot and the front of the leg, while dorsiflexion decreases the angle between the top of the foot and the front of the leg. Abduction moves a part away from the medial plane of the body, while adduction moves a part toward the medial plane of the body. Circular movements involve rotation or pivoting a bone on its own axis, and circumduction, which moves a part so that its distal end moves in a circle. Supination turns the hand palm side up, while pronation turns the hand palm side down. Gliding movements are the simplest of all movements. The articular surface of one bone moves over the articular surface of another without any angular or circular movement. In addition to these movements, a number of special movements are possible. Inversion involves turning the sole of the foot inward, whereas eversion turns the sole of the foot outward. Protraction moves a part forward, while retraction moves a part backwards. Elevation moves a part up, whereas depression lowers a part. Cycle of life, articulations. The bone development and the sequence of ossification between birth and skeletal maturity affect joints. Fontanelles between cranial bones disappear, and epiphyseal plates ossify at maturity. In older adults, ROM decreases and changes in gait are common. Skeletal disorders manifest as joint problems. Abnormal bone growth or lipping influences joint motion. Disease conditions can be associated with specific developmental periods. The big picture, articulations. It could be said of the hand that it is the reason for the upper extremity, while the thumb is the reason for the hand. These statements are examples of big picture type thinking when used in functional context. The mobility of the upper extremity is extensive because of the arrangement of bones in the shoulder girdle, arms, forearm, wrist, and hand, the location and method of attachment of muscle to bones, and proper functioning of joints. Mobility and extensive ROM are needed to position the upper extremity and hand to permit grasping and manipulation of objects, thus enabling effective interaction with objects in the external environment.